Hey there, budgeters. Welcome back to Everybody's Bad with Money. It's AJ Schneider, the Money Mom, and today we've got something really special for you. You know, I noticed that during our coaching calls, Rachel Lee and I had the best conversations, and you were always like, oh my God, we should be recording this, or we should have recorded this. So I decided to actually just record more and more of our private sessions for you to listen to. Typically, we meet every week and go over client struggles, and we brainstorm solutions together to help. And in this convo, we talk about the common issues we hear clients have about forecasting. Simply put, forecasting is the way we are able to save for upcoming big expenses that are typically out of your normal spending. For example, weddings, travel, concert tickets, medical procedures, beauty procedures. And it's really important for budgeting. It's probably one of the most important things because it's the easiest way that people get into debt. It enables you to successfully save, and it enables you to feel really confident and present in those moments because you're paying for them, you should feel really good. Okay, as you can hear, I'm pretty passionate about forecasting. So before we dive into the episode, let's give a shout out to my incredible co-producer, Eric Weisberg, who's behind the scenes making this stuff happen. And just a heads up, if you're loving what we're throwing down and interested in working with Rachel and or Leah, then you're in luck. They've recently offboarded a few clients and have some slots open for one-on-one coaching. Stick around until the end of the episode to find out how to apply. And without further ado, let's budget on.
Let's say you have a gift fund and you then list out, like, you get super detailed and you list out everyone in your life that you're going to buy gifts, birthday gifts for, then you put in the holidays. And I think some people think that part overwhelms them, almost having like too many categories. So a way to help with my clients is like, okay, well, for me, I'm going into this 2023. I'm like, I want to put $40 a month into my gift fund so that for the entire year, I will just have it, I think, like a little over $500 to help support me. Like, let's say it's Sean's birthday and I want to do an event and I budget for it in my December budget because that's when his birthday is, but then I want to have a little extra help for my gift fund. I can pull from that. Or so some people, I think, like it if it's not as
itemized
versus I think for travel, it's really important to have all those categories. So I think for some of the feedback I've gotten from my clients is it feels like they're not doing it right. And I had to tell them like, there is a right way to do it, but you don't have to be so strict and like, you have to only do it this way for it to be correct. Like you can make it easy and simple for you. Another thing I've gotten feedback from, let's say I have a month where I know, like, because I get paid biweekly. So I get paid, there's like 2 months out of the year that I get three paychecks versus two. So during those months, if I'm forecasting for, let's say, a vacation in July, and I know in March I'm getting three paychecks this year, I would move in my forecasting sheet. Like, there's going to be a lot more money getting pulled for forecasting in March than maybe February. Right. So I explaining to my clients and reviewing with them, like, this is the ideal basic way to do it. Right. It almost should be like a basic and an advanced way to forecast. Basic is you have $500. Your trip is in July. You have X amount of months, divide 500 by X. That's the basic way. Advanced would be do that, but then play around with the numbers at the bottom. If you know you want to move, spend more money on forecasting in 1 month. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So those are some of the questions I've gotten of like, I think people just feel like they're not doing it right. And I'm like, here's the directions. And then you at the end of the day can take ownership of it.
Yes. Everything you said, Leah, I think the thing that I noticed, and maybe this is what you said, but just saying it in a different way is like those bigger things, it's easier to teach, like a vacation or a wedding or professional expense or something. But I think what trips up my clients sometimes is forecasting for like beauty maintenance of like, I need products, like that kind of thing, because then they're like, well, where does that money go? How do I keep track of that? I think it's the smaller scale stuff that is harder for them. Something that I have started doing with my clients is I teach forecasting more of like this general idea that can be applied to a lot of different things, which maybe is how you teach it to AJ, but like I describe forecasting as a framework and then teach them how to apply it in different scenarios. because I'm often teaching them how to forecast their income as well. And then I do what you do, Leah, is like, I try and teach them like, okay, so if you know that you're going to make more money in this month, then you can forecast more money for your vacation in that month. And then that goes into your savings and whatnot. The other thing I try and impart is that you can, like, forecasting is, I call it the art of proactive thinking. So at the end of each month, you're also looking at the next month and going, what do I have to buy? Like, am I getting my hair done? Do I want a massage? And that is part of forecasting too, as well as the larger items, as well as I need these beauty products. I know I am going to spend $30 on it each month. And that is part of forecasting too. So I think it's maybe breaking, I think you're right, Leah, like the beginner and then advanced. I do think what trips up my clients the most is the smaller things, not forecasting for the larger things. They get that. It's more of like, yeah, beauty products or like stuff for the dog or whatever, like those month to month things that they need to buy versus like the vacation that happens every 6 months.
I like that visual of like beginner advanced. I actually think there's even more layers because I'm thinking about like I'm advanced, and I'll get into that in a second. The first thing is the where. I think people get tripped up on like, where do I put my $50 for my beauty products?
Yes.
The way I have tried to explain that, the way I explain it to my clients is that it's about creating homeostasis in your budget. The key is like the consistency, right? So it's like, you might not spend $50 on beauty maintenance today, but next month you will, but we're going to keep it in your budget. And if you have 50 extra bucks at the end of the day because you didn't spend it, then you can put that into savings. Realistically, those smaller items happen. So there's like, and that's why I loved that idea of like beginner advanced. It's like there's, we call short-term goals. Short-term goals in our mind is like vacation, weddings, you know, putting into an emergency fund, checking account balance. Like those are our short-term goals. But there's really these like micro goals, which is like having enough money to afford laser hair removal, or like, is there a payment plan that you can do with laser hair removal? And does that payment plan work within your monthly budget? Which then gets me kind of to like advanced budgeting. So I'm thinking about last year where we had 5 destination weddings. And in January, I sat down with Brett and I was like, I need to forecast this out. So it was this combination. Obviously, I own a business, so my income isn't consistent, where I needed to forecast my income. So let's just say there's that piece, but then you're a 9-to-5 worker. You can forecast your income because you could get that third paycheck. You could get your bonus in March. You could be doing side hustling, Rover, whatever. And then what I did was I showed Brett in April where we have this wedding. It's going to cost this much. Here are some of the expenses. And basically what I did, instead of, we didn't have to save for it because we were able to take it out. And this is what I mean by like extra advance, is that we didn't have to take anything that we spent for those weddings out of our monthly budget. We didn't have to save for it, but we did have to be prepared for those expenses. If we continued to have spent like we on a normal month, we would have had to dip into savings for those months. We weren't able to save besides retirement in those months, but we didn't have to go and like pull from another fund because we have enough discretionary income to be able to like, but had we in May, when we spent $2,500 on weddings, if we had just continued to like, you know, if I hadn't done some of that pre-work of like, I bought some of the gifts that I was going to need in May, I bought them in February. That's like an extra, I think I spent an extra like $450 in February that I didn't have to spend in May. You know, like the goal is teach it the way that you're both talking about. The next level is that potentially you don't even need to have a bucket for those short-term savings because it can come out of your discretionary income if it's planned far enough in advance and you understand. Now, we're really fortunate that we have enough income that we can do that. That's not always the case. And I think that's way too high level. Like, I think that's a case by case talking to a client basis, because the key piece is that the reason why Brett and I can do that is because we budget. And because right. we don't have these aggressive short-term goals, like right now we have an aggressive short-term goal of like, we want to replenish our emergency fund. So we're being really, really, really looking in the details of our budget. But if we didn't have any other short-term goals other than like, we want to invest more money and like, we want to save more money so that we can, you know, like we weren't feeling this like, oh my God, this $2,500 hit is going to suck because this affects like this goal of us going on vacation in July, like that we didn't have those feelings because we could course correct our spending for the month and not have to go into savings.
Hey, it's your money mom here to empower you financially. You know, the spiel. We're on a mission to inspire 1 million people to take control over their finances because we believe that empowered people empower people. Help us reach our goal. Rate, review, and share this podcast. Together, let's transform your financial future. Now, back to the episode.
When I Yes. think about why it's so complicated, I think it's the where. I think people get really caught up in the where do I put this money and why am I saving for things that I don't buy every month? Because I've had that question a lot. Like, why am I saving for this? Like, I don't need it. It's like, okay, well then that month you have an extra $50, go allocate it towards shopping, you know, go allocate it towards an extra night of dinner. It doesn't have to be like, I have to spend this $50 in shopping. Like, goes back to what you were saying, Leah, about being so rigidistic about the categories.
Yeah, I think a lot of my, and then I'm like, maybe it's the way I'm teaching them. So maybe it's a reflection on me, but I or it's just a commonality of some of my clients, but they're very much like, well, what do I do if I have $200 left over at the end of the month? And I'm like,
you celebrate.
Celebrate. And you move, like I always say, you move it towards savings or you like update your savings plan. Or if you know next month you want to treat yourself to maybe a dinner with girlfriends, like let's allocate that $200 into January's budget, right? Like you always want to make sure that you're at the end of the month checking those numbers. And if you have any left over after you update everything, like that's so super exciting. And then do what you want. Like my go-to is always like savings, but then I'm like, at the end of the day, if you wanted to, go get your nails done and you don't typically get your nails done, it's like allocate it towards that. But I guess for me with like the smaller things like beauty, I typically, and this is, I just want to share this with you guys in case I should be doing something differently, but like we have their forecasting tab, right? And that's where like everything shown so that they can access it and be like, okay, here's my forecasting for January. And here's like everything broken down. But that at the end of the day, I need to move $482 in January in my savings forecasting, wherever I keep that. And then in their savings plan, I just have them instead of having like their five different forecasting categories, I just have one line item that says forecasting. And then in January, it'd be 482. And if they look at that and they're like, why is that 482? They can look at their forecasting tab to see the like line items.
Can you tell me where the 482 is located? The first, just the number 482. Is that just located in historical expenses?
That would be located in their budget.
Got it. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. So in like, their budget under their savings buckets, there's just one savings bucket called savings.
Yeah. And that's like first month emergency or like emergency fund or house fund, mm-hmm. like those bigger long-term goals. Then forecasting is just like one line item that says forecasting 482 for the month of January, like in their budget. So like we're accounting for 482 from their income. And it's part of an expense.
I don't think there's a wrong answer. I think that could be, there's two things that I think one, it could be really like exciting and encouraging for them to see that big number 42, or because if they see $50 here, $25 here, $45 here, that might feel like, oh, that's nothing. What is that going towards? So I think there's like definitely a psychology around having that bigger number show like, wow, you saved $482. But then I also see value in like really breaking down what those categories are. Like if it is $200 going to checking account, $200 going to emergency fund, $100 going to travel, like,
yeah.
And what I normally teach is that the micro savings is in lifestyle.
Right. Like that's what I think I haven't necessarily, like if someone, for example, knows that they have to get
Botox. I'm using Botox because a lot of people get Botox that we work with.
Yeah. Like, or even just something even smaller, like makeup or like let's say
okay, they have fair.
And then they sit and they're like, okay, for January, I know I'm going to spend $30 on beauty for like, cause I ran out of like a concealer. Right. And so they're like, I'm just going to, it's $30. I'm putting it in my budget. But then let's say they're saving up for Botox. They would forecast for Botox, but just budget for January for that one makeup item.
Yep.
And then it goes back to what Rachel was saying too. Like sometimes it's harder to versus anytime I ask my clients, I'm like, oh, do you get your hair done? Cause I know how like I get my hair done twice a year and I'm like, it's a big expense. So let's forecast for it.
Any thoughts, Rach?
I don't know if I have anything else to add. It's just really helpful to talk through this and I'm getting other, you know, ideas and ways to work with my clients on this too.
Cool.
So essentially AJ, you keep the smaller like beauty stuff in the lifestyle budget, but in your mind, you talk to your clients about they're forecasting that $50, even if they don't spend it.
Versus
what I'm saying is sometimes I might be saying it a little bit differently for those smaller things of like, let's like, if they don't spend beauty that month, they're just like, oh, I set beauty to zero. Cause I know I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. It's a I think that like, okay, if we're looking at like the scale of like beginner to advanced, I think like starting someone off at like, keep $50 in your beauty because on average over the last 6 months from your historical expenses, you've spent $300. Now you spent that $300 in like 100 in February, 25 in March, you know, nothing in April, whatever. But this is the average. And what we're trying to do is create homeostasis. And then I think as they get more comfortable with budgeting and forecasting, and they're like, you know what? Like, I'm really not going to buy anything next month. I know I'm not. So I can like move that $50 over and just see it now versus like the third week in January, move that money over.
Got it.
But I think that could be like a really good like launch pad to be like, keep it like this in the categories that we know you're consistently spending in. Now, like entertainment is an area that like for most people is not necessarily consistent. Maybe it's like every 4 months, every 5 months. So maybe we don't need to save for that, but we forecast for that. And we say, okay, coming up in like, let's just have it in like 3 months from now, because like historically it looks like every 3 months you go to a concert. So let's just like have it in there. We'll pull out from, you know, we'll pull out from beauty. We'll pull out a little bit from going out and we'll put it towards entertainment. And then as they get more secure and trust more trusting of themselves, then they can have more zero items, which I don't think will take very long. It's not like we're saying like, you have to spend a year doing it this way. Yeah. And then, you know, but like when they start to get a hang of it and they're owning the calls with you, that's when you know, it's like, okay, cool. I think they can have a little more assertiveness in their budget.
Are you ready to conquer your financial goals? Rachel and Leah are offering limited, I say limited because spots fill up so quick, one-on-one coaching spots. Apply now at www.beyondthegreencoaching-one-on-one-coaching and hop on a discovery call to secure your spot. Don't wait, spots fill up fast. Details are in the show notes, so you don't want to miss it. And before we sign off, I want to extend a heartfelt thank you to each and every one of you for tuning in. Your support means the world to us. We are so grateful to be on this financial journey together. Special shout out to our incredible co-host, Eric, for making the podcast possible. We couldn't do it without you. So let's make your financial dreams a reality. Apply for one-on-one coaching with Rachel and Leah, and let's keep building a brighter future together. Thank you for listening, budgeters.